Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. I would like to read the first three verses. I encourage you to follow in the Word of God. Look at God's Word as I try to read the Word of God, and would ask all of you again, please be praying for God to help us as we try to study God's holy Word. Before we begin to endeavor to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our voices unto the Lord and to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we pray that Thou would help us this day as we come together in Thy house. We ask Thee to help us to be able to feel the presence of the Spirit of God. Thou knowest our weakness and our frailty. Thou knowest our dependence upon Thee. Lord, You know that we need Your help desperately this day, and we pray that You would help us, strengthen us, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Bless all of us to be able to hear the Word of God. We trust that we have prepared our hearts to receive Thy Word, and that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives. Lord, we beg You to bless us during this coming week as we have our week of worship and recreation. We pray that You would bless all the teachers as they have prepared their lessons. Bless them now to teach Thy Word, and bless all the preachers to preach the Word, and bless us together to rejoice in the Lord and in the fellowship of Thy people. Help us, Lord, that we might learn during this week, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You again, Lord, for all the blessings of this past week. Continue to bless us, be merciful and gracious in all Thy dealings with us. We beg Thy blessings upon those who are sick and upon the families who are having trouble and all of Thy people the world over. Again, now bless this body of Thy people. Bless each individual that's here this morning and each family that's represented. Bless all of Thy people wherever they're gathered together in Thy name this day. We pray that You would be with them and manifest Thy presence. Bless all the preachers to preach the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to live the Word. We pray in the precious and holy name that's above every name, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, the great High Priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." I want you to notice that all these things He's given to preach and teach and do, they're for particular people. He says he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, the good tidings, if you're not meek, God has not called Isaiah or any other preacher to preach good tidings except to the meek. And then he says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." I want us to understand this morning that in this whole passage of Scripture, what Isaiah is saying is, and of course it's fulfilled in the New Testament, especially in Christ Jesus our Lord, but what Isaiah is saying is that I have a work to do as a man of God, and all this work that I'm doing, it's for a particular purpose. He says, all the work that I'm doing in preaching and working and laboring and in binding up and anointing and all these other things, the last expression, the last three expressions in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3 says, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He, that is God, might be glorified. When a man of God and the people of God, when they work together, the people of God become what is called here trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness. And then he uses another expression there. He says, the planting of the Lord. And the reason that we're to be called trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord is that God would be glorified. As we study the Word of God, we find that God repeatedly refers to people as different kinds of trees. There are about 25 different kinds of trees, and sometimes God refers to people as corrupt trees, evil trees, and sometimes God compares His people to good trees. Sometimes He calls them wild. They bring forth wild fruit instead of bringing forth good fruit. So I want you to understand this morning that the first thing we need to remember is that in this passage of Scripture and in the lesson we're going to be studying today, God is comparing you and me. He's comparing us to what? To trees. To trees. You know, I love to sit in the woods. I like to deer hunt, and I like to sit in the woods and look at trees, especially in light of what God's Word has to say about trees. You know, sometimes as you sit in the woods, and or if you're walking through the woods, you'll see all different kinds of trees. And you'll see some old trees. I love to walk through the woods and see those old trees that are so strong and tall. And sometimes you'll see other trees that have fallen against them, but they just keep right on growing, and they have other trees that are leaning on them and intertwined together. Now think about the great saints of God that I know that are still earnestly contending for the faith, and they are the planting of the Lord, and they're trees of righteousness, and they're great tall trees. They are giant trees, spiritually speaking. They're trees that have brought honor and glory to God. And then you have other kinds of trees, all different kinds of trees. You have some trees that come up or spring up, and they don't last very long. Sometimes you'll even have fruit trees that do not produce. Did you know that? In Thomaston, I planted, on our land there, I planted a lot of peach trees one year because I really like peaches. I like good peaches. And in Upson County and Peach County, those two counties grow, I think, the best peaches in the world. So I planted all of those fruit trees, but I never did anything other than water them the first few days after I planted them. And they've been there for 20 years, 30 years, 35 years. And I've never gotten any good peaches off of those trees. Not one time. Now, it's not just those trees' fault. Do you understand that? The reason that I've never gotten any good peaches, now, many, many, many years, there are peaches that come up on those trees and they grow, and occasionally when I stop by there and the peaches are growing, I stop and I look, and they get about like a golf ball, and then insects and different things get on them, and they just end up rotting and falling off of the tree. They're of no value to anyone. They're of no value to me. And the reason is because I have never fertilize the trees, and I've never cared for the trees. I've never given them the attention that they need for them to be able to bring forth the fruit they ought to bring forth in their lifetime. And the same thing's true in our lives, brethren, that the people of God need nurturing. They need fertilizing. They need to be watered. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul said, I planted, another one watered, but God gave the increase. But the point is, Paul labored, and another one labored, and they all labored to the intent that they would bring forth fruit. And that's our work as a church today, is that we would all bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of God. That we would be called the trees of, what's the last expression there? Trees of what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God would be glorified. Now, there was a man right down the road from us in Yatesville, Georgia, which is right outside from Thomaston, and he had a peach orchard, and that peach orchard produced beautiful peaches. When I was a boy there, after he finished gathering all the peaches. He would let anybody that wanted to go in there. He would just tell everybody in Yatesville, just go out there and get any peaches that are left. And we would go out there, and I would go out there as a boy, and it seemed like those peaches, you know, when you're a boy and you got little hands, it seems to me like those peaches were that big around, and they were delicious peaches just to go and pick them off of those trees. But listen, the only reason that those trees produce so much is because he plowed between those trees. He kept the grass down. He fertilized those trees. He put out things that would kill other plants that would grow up among those trees. And he pruned those trees. And he did everything that he could to care for those trees. And as he cared for those trees, they produced abundant fruit. And God's Word teaches that we're to be called the trees of righteousness. But in order for us to be trees of righteousness that bring forth much fruit, we have to live a particular way. You've got to, you and I have to work to keep the briars and the thistles out of our lives. We have to work to keep watering our tree and to take in food for our tree, to take in nourishment for our tree. Now, in order for your tree to bring forth righteousness, you have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, God's Word says you shall be filled. And if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and if you're studying God's Word and hearing the Word of God, all of that is food and nourishment for you as a tree of righteousness to bring forth fruit that who may be glorified, that God would be glorified. Now, Jesus uses a similar expression in John chapter 15. He says, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the what? You're the branches. And he says, every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, he purgeth it. In other words, he prunes it. He cuts it back. Did you know, even if you serve God, you're going to have some cutting back in your life from time to time. There are a lot of times in our lives that we have things that we don't need. There are a lot of times we have things in our lives that do not produce fruit, and they hinder us bringing forth fruit. And many times God will just cut those things away from us. We'll lose things because they're a detriment to our spiritual growth. So don't be all upset every time you lose something. It could be God just doing what to your tree? Just pruning your tree. My tree's been pruned a lot of times in my life because I didn't. You know, some people can handle things and some can't. Did you know that? Some people know how to handle certain things, and some people, they get the same things and it just seems to be an albatross around the necks. It just seems to be something that just leads to their destruction instead of them bringing forth fruit of honor and glory of God. So we need to pray that God will help us to be trees of what? Trees of righteousness, that we would be the planting of the Lord, that God would be glorified. Now back up in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 5. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 5. And I want you to understand, first of all, that you can be a tree of righteousness, or you can be a tree of corruption. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. All born again children of God. I'm talking about children of God that have been quickened by the Spirit of God. They are not always trees of righteousness. Sometimes they're trees that bring forth evil fruit and corrupt fruit. It depends on whether I nourish that God has given me. If I feed the flesh, you know what's going to happen to that part of me that's the flesh? If I keep feeding it, if I keep absorbing the things of this world, if I look at things I ought not to look at, and I do things I ought not to do, that old corrupt tree, that Adamic nature is going to grow, and it's to become stronger, and I'm going to be a tree of what? A tree of corruption instead of a tree of what? Righteousness. The only way that I'll ever be, or you'll ever be, a tree of righteousness is if you're working and laboring to press down and suppress that tree of corruption and work in labor to establish and strengthen that tree of righteousness. You have the spirit of man and you have the spirit of God dwelling in you. You have the natural man and you have the spiritual man. And if you allow the natural man to grow, it will suppress that spiritual man from growing. Have you ever been there where your spiritual man just kind of withered down? That old flesh was just kind of really taking over. I think most of us, if we're honest, we'd say, yeah, been there, done that. Now, we need to know the consequences of all of that. I want you to notice, and there are a lot of places you can turn and read that. If you go home today, I want you to read John 15, 1 through 12, and you tell me tonight, what are the consequences of you bringing forth fruit that you ought not to bring forth fruit? What are the consequences of just not bringing forth good fruit? In that passage, John 15, he says, after he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, if you don't bring forth fruit, he's going to break the branch off and cast that branch into what? Into fire. And brethren, he's not talking about dying and going to eternal hell if you don't do good works. He's talking about God's children who are in Christ. If you'll go back and study that passage, he says, every branch in me. We're talking about people who are in Christ. Every branch in me that bringeth not forth good fruit. That's what God will do. He'll take His people who are chosen by Him before the foundation of the world and predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, and they will be in eternal heaven one day, but He will cast them into a hell while they live here in this earth. You and I, as God's children, need to understand the seriousness of us being trees of righteousness instead of being trees of corruption. Because if I allow my flesh to take over in my life, or you allow your flesh to take over in your life, if you allow that tree of corruption to bring forth more fruit than that tree of righteousness, then you will be cast into a hell here on this earth. Listen now, in Isaiah chapter 5, God says, here's what I've done for my trees. Here's what I've done for my vineyard. Here's what I have done for you. I'm talking to you who are here today. And specifically, here he's talking about Israel, but you are spiritual Israel. Those of you who are here today, you're spiritual Israel. We're not talking about the old national Israel. We're talking about spiritual Israel right now. Isaiah chapter 5, God says, Isaiah 5, now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. You know who put you in the fruitful hill? You know, he says, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You know the only reason you have that good tree that's part of your life? You know why you have that good tree? That's right. The Lord planted it. God put it in you. And God took you and He planted you in a very fruitful hill. He didn't plant you out there in the desert. He didn't plant you out there in the woods among the world for you to grow fruit there. He planted you in His church, which is a very fruitful hill. It's a place where God's people feed on the Word of God. It's a place where the ground is rich with nourishment. It's a place where the people of God are rejoicing in fellowship together and they're giving glory to God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth, and that's the very fruitful hill that God has planted you in. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to be planted in that very fruitful hill? Now don't tell me it doesn't make a difference where you plant a good fruit tree. It makes a difference where you plant it. I also planted some pecan trees up on that hill, and they're 35 years old, and they've never produced a pecan either. That's red clay. It was just like I had to take an auger on the back of a tractor, bore down in that red clay, and put that tree down in there, and I put a bunch of good soil. They just never have produced anything. It's just not a good place to grow pecan. Well, it depends on whether you're South Georgia or North Georgia, pecan or pecan trees, but it just doesn't produce. You got to put them in a good soil, don't you? What's the point I'm trying to get across? I'm trying to get across that God didn't plant you out there in the world, and He didn't leave you out there in the world. If you take an apple tree, and you go down in the woods and you plant that apple tree in the woods, and it doesn't get any sunshine, and it doesn't get the things that it needs, what's going to happen to that apple tree? It'll just die. That's exactly right. On the other hand, if you take that apple tree, same tree, and you plant it in good soil, you plant it in a field where you have a lot of other apple trees, a wonderful place, a hill where there's good soil there, and you take care of all those apple trees. Isn't it wonderful? How would you like to be an apple tree that was planted out there in the woods versus an apple tree that was planted in an apple tree orchard out there among all the other apple trees that are going to be cared for? Well, that's what God says He's done for you here. He says, I have planted, listen, my beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And here's what else He did. We're in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2. And He fenced it. Isn't that wonderful? Who fenced it? Who fenced this vineyard? God did. Does God have a hedge around you? Has He got you fenced in? Does God have a hedge around this church? Does God have a hedge around His church? Yes, He does. He says, and He fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now, you can say, well, that's impossible, and that's the person that planted the tree's fault. What's the lesson He's teaching here? The lesson He's teaching is that God took His nation Israel and He gave them everything they needed to be trees of righteousness. They were the planting of the Lord, but they did not give glory to God. And what did God then do to them? He destroyed them. Likewise in mine and your life. Listen, brethren, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as God dealt with His people in the Old Testament, God is still dealing with His people the same today. And if you and I don't bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of God, if we're not trees of righteousness, if we're not producing abundant fruit, God will cut us down. He'll cut us off. He's already done everything that He needed to do for us to grow. Did you know that? God has done everything He needed to do for us to grow. You and I are without excuse. If you don't know what God's Word teaches, you're without excuse. If you've got eyes to see and a brain and you can read and you've got the Word of God, you're without excuse if you don't know what the Bible teaches. If you're more interested in reading books and all these other the trash and watching television than you are in reading God's Word and learning what God's Word says, you're headed for destruction. If the Word of God is not precious to you, you're going to dry up and you're not producing good fruit. If you love the house of God, if you love the Word of God, if you love the people of God, if it's all important to you, you're going to get the nourishment you need. You're going to get the feeding that you need. You're going to get the watering that you need, because God will send down His Spirit and He'll water you and He'll nourish you and He'll bless you and He'll keep a fence around you. He says in verse 3, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes." What's He saying there? What else could I have done for you? Could God say that to you in your life today? Could God say to you, what else could I have done for you? What else could I have done? I gave you everything you needed. I have given you everything you needed to be what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God would be glorified. And that's what God's saying now in verse 5. He says, "And now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard." Is it still His vineyard? They're His people. We're talking about His people. "I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard," God says in verse 5. "I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." What's God saying? He's using an illustration that He took this vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He took out the stones. He plowed the ground. He planted the vineyard. He put in a wine press. He put a hedge around it. He put a fence around it. He protected it. He sent rain down from heaven. The trees had everything they needed, but they did not produce good grapes. My question this morning is, what kind of grapes are you bringing forth in your life? Good grapes or corrupt grapes? Good fruit or bad fruit? Or no fruit? No fruit's the same as bad fruit? Are there consequences? Are there serious consequences to not doing what God tells you to do? Very serious consequences. Go with me to Psalm 37 just a moment. Look at Psalm 37, verse 35. Please look in your Bibles. I want to just mention one other bad tree, and then I'm going to talk about good trees. I want to mention a bad tree. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wanted to ask you a question. I'll go ahead and ask the question. You better know the answer now. Does God compare, when God compares His people to a bay tree, B-A-Y, when God compares His people to a bay tree, is He talking about good children of God or bad children of God? Is He talking about obedient children of God or is He talking about disobedient children of God? Disobedient. That's right. How do you know? Because God tells us that. Look at the Scripture. Psalm 37. Everybody look at verse 35. Psalm 37, verse 35, He says, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Now, He says, here's what I've seen. This is God speaking. God says, I have seen the wicked in the world in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Now, what do you get out of that when God says that the wicked spread themselves like a green bay tree? What I get out of that, what I see in that initially and first is that that green bay tree just spreads itself out. And I picture a child of God that is so blessed by God to grow, and yet it doesn't give glory to God, and it has all kinds of blessings in its life, but instead of giving glory to God, it wants to boast about what great things it has accomplished. It's full of pride and full of arrogancy, just spreading itself out like a green bay tree. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that was like a green bay tree? He says, I've seen the wicked in the earth in great power, and they're like a green bay tree. Can you think about anybody in the Scriptures, Brother Wendell, who? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was like a green bay tree. He grew. He was strong. He was mighty. He was powerful. You just picture a huge green bay tree with big branches and big trunk, and it was all spread out. And he says, is not this the great kingdom which I have built by my power? You see there that green bay tree. What did God do to that green bay tree? I'll tell you, it doesn't take but one moment for God to just mow it down. You can take a huge green bay tree, you can run a car into it, and it's not going to budge the tree. You can take a green bay tree, you can run into it all you want to as an individual, it's not going to hurt that green bay tree. But listen, brethren, when God speaks the word, when God cuts it down, it doesn't matter how big the tree is, great is the fall of it. Crash. Have you ever seen some green bay trees fall down? That's what will happen to that's what will happen to every green bay tree. God will cut it down. Why? Because God will not allow His people to be like a green bay tree. What's a tree you need to be like? Well, turn in your Bible to a lot of different trees. Let's go to one tree. Let's go to one. Look at Psalm 52. Psalm 52 and verse 8. Please look in your Bibles at Psalm 52, verse 8. Now, you better know the difference when you leave here this morning whether you want to be a green bay tree or an olive tree. I'm going to ask some of you on the way out which one you want to be. Listen, and you know what's amazing? I can ask these little children, and they can give me the answers. Did you know that? I ask these little children quite often. I ask them questions over what I preach, and it's amazing to me the truth that these children, little children, are understanding. Do you know that's a wonderful blessing? That we have children that are hearing and understanding the Word of God. You don't want to be like a green bay tree. But now in Psalm 52, verse 8, here's what the Word of God says. Psalm 52 and verse 8. This was a time when David was glorifying God in his life and was honoring God. He's talked about people that turned their backs on God and the Word of God. And then he says in Psalm 52 and verse 8, he says, but I, he's contrasting, he says, but I am like a green olive tree Now, there's another important expression right there. What does he say? In the house of God, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. You know when I am probably the best I am, ever am in the whole week? Yes? There's two, four, five, about 5 hours that I'm the best I am the whole week. Guess where I am when I'm the best I am the whole week? Anybody have any idea? Yes, sir, in the church. You might think I'm not real good in the church, but that's about as good as it gets in my life. Isn't that the way it is with most of us? Don't we kind of go downhill? You skip a few Sundays and watch what happens. You'll go down, down, down. Why? Because it's necessary for these trees of righteousness to be in the very fruitful hill to get the nourishment they need. And so David says here, I'm like a green olive tree when in the house of God. That's when he was like a green olive tree. Now sometimes when he got away from the house of God and got up on that housetop and looked out there and saw Bathsheba, he became like a bay tree. He became like a bay tree, spreading out his wings. Isn't that what he was doing? Spreading out his wings out there and pulled her in. But I'll tell you, when David was in the house of God, what was he like? He's like a green olive tree. He says, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. You know what I see this morning? I see green olive trees. I see a vineyard full of green olive trees, beautiful trees. I look at your face this morning, I see people that love God, fear God, want to serve God, want to obey God. Now, I might see you somewhere out there next week, and you might be a little different. But we need to work on being the same everywhere we are, because, listen carefully, I can be in the house of God wherever I go. Did you know that? I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what David said he did in the 23rd Psalm, isn't he? You think he just stayed in the walls of the building when he said, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever? No, I can dwell in the house of the Lord everywhere I go. You can dwell in the house of the Lord. You can be a green olive tree everywhere you go. You can be a tree of righteousness. You can be the planting of the Lord everywhere you go. How old do you have? How old will you stop bearing fruit now? How old will you be? How old will you be when you stop bearing fruit? Here's an amazing thing about these fruitful trees. Go to Psalm 52. I'm sorry, Psalm 92. Look at Psalm 92. Listen to what the Word of God says. We've got some old people. Not old. We've got some people here who are older than some of the rest of us today. All right, now listen. I've seen in every single one of these older fruit trees, there is not an older fruit tree here that is not a tree of righteousness and bringing forth fruit to the honor and glory of God. Every older fruit tree that's here is still producing abundant fruit. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever been by an old home site where the house is torn down, the barn is torn down, and did you know that often I've seen... Have you ever seen old home sites and seen a fruit tree that was out there that was still bearing fruit? Have you ever seen that? What kind of tree is it usually you see out there that's still bearing fruit? Okay, God is helping us to bear fruit, but it's amazing how many times at old home sites you'll see an old pear tree out there and everything else is gone, that old pear tree, and the limbs are all broken off, you know, and it looks pretty bad. But that old pear tree just keeps right on producing fruit. Isn't that amazing? Everything else is gone, but that pear tree is still producing fruit. And I'll tell you, brethren, it's wonderful to see people like these dear saints of God from the nursing home. Everything else is gone in their life, isn't it? Everything else is gone. Their homes are gone. Their money's gone. Many of their loved ones are gone. But I'll tell you what they're still doing. They're old trees of righteousness down here. They're the planting of the Lord. And they're giving glory to God. Beautiful trees. Oh, you want to see some pretty trees, you come down here and look at these trees. You want to see some pretty trees, you look at some of the saints of God. Look at some of these little children. I'll tell you, those are some beautiful trees. How old do you have to be to start bringing forth fruit? Little bitty babies can bring forth fruit. Little children can bring forth fruit. Middle-aged people can bring forth fruit. Old people can bring forth fruit. trees of righteousness. Look at Psalm 92. We'll close right here in Psalm 92, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." Now, palm tree, good or bad? All right, good. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Is that a good tree, the cedar tree? The palm tree is a good one. The cedar, he's going to grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Isn't that wonderful? Where are they going to? Well, by the way, are these trees walking around out there? We'll get to that maybe tonight. No? Well, I wanted to contrast, and we'll do that tonight. I want to contrast the difference in trees out there walking around and trees that are planted. What does this say about this tree? They're planted, you see. They're planted in the house of God. Now, they do, what Brother Jerry was saying is, they do go out all during the week and they bring forth fruit out there, but they're still planted in the house of our God. In their old age, they bring forth fruit. I praise God and I thank God that I can look out over this congregation and I think in every one of your lives, I have seen fruit. But I also want to say that in every one of your lives, I could see more fruit than what I see. And you could see more fruit in my life than what you see. So my admonition to you, and I believe the exhortation that God would have us here this morning, is may God help us to leave here today, to go out and bring forth more fruit so that we can be like the green olive tree in the house of the Lord. We can be like the cedars of Lebanon. We can be like the palm tree planted in the house of God. May God help us to be planted, firmly grounded in the house of God. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water is my prayer for Christ's sake.